This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the One Was Had a Dream podcast. My name is Lee Finch and I will be joined as ever by Danny Baker. We have a special guest on tonight, which is going to be the new Wimbledon MD, Danny Macklin. He'll be joining us soon. But first off, let me introduce Danny Baker. How are we? You good?
Absolute World Cup fever, Lee. I'm absolutely loving it.
You're into it now, yeah?
Oh, mate. Well, I'm always into it anyway. I've always been a big World Cup fan, but I've been watching it. It's been great as well with the kids at school because we did like a big, you know, all the top 24 teams ranked who's done it. And we've got a little lad at work who's, what is he? He's like a 19-year-old new gap student. He's basically decided that he started to like get into like online gambling and stuff. So I was like, don't do this. This is a terrible idea. Don't do it.
And he
was like,
no.
100%. So he was like, I've got a 20 game accumulator. It's going to be £4,500 to one. It's going to come in. And I was like, I'll give you your money back. I said, I'll take the bet off you because it's a bad idea. I said, but if you want to keep it, how about we have a curry bet? You can have 20 teams and you can have the draw and I'll have whoever is like the loser. And he was like, oh, yeah, OK, easy. First game, Argentina, Saudi Arabia. He picks Argentina. I see 48 o'clock Friday. So
will he pay out? Because we most people who listen know that you don't pay out on bets, like food bets. So,
oh, that is. Do you know what? I thought you might. I know you don't like Christmas, but that the Christmas spirit ain't with you, is it?
I'm not a fan of Christmas, but yeah, World Cup fever. I'm right into it. Love it.
Yeah, if you look like it. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got right into it. Some of the games are a bit boring, though, aren't they, really? Some of them have not started well.
They can be, but again, it's just that it's the only time I'm ever going to watch sort of Denmark versus Ecuador and get mildly excited.
We were talking about this earlier. Me and my boys were talking about it and saying how the golden generation just ain't around anymore. There's not, you know, like we're talking like Van Persie's, you mean your French, like your Zidane's and your Henry's, your Terry's and stuff like that, where now... Is it us or is footballers are just not as good anymore as they once were? You're looking at the French team and thinking they're still like Mbappe's good, but other than that, they're not very good. There's a still like Busquets is still turning out for Spain as like Gabby, but other than that, there's not many people. And why is it that? Is it because we watch them so often now? So you like when you used to watch the Brazil team, you only used to watch them in a World Cup. You never used to see them play for their club for games. When now you're seeing them all the time, it's like, well, I know what Neymar can do. He's a diver. He's a bit cheap, bit of skills, but yeah.
I wonder whether FIFA has a bit of that as well. I think that like you said, you can kind of play FIFA and all these people are kind of household names. And the fun parts of the Saudi Arabia game, Argentina, is it's the guys we know versus the guys that we don't. But it's been, yeah, I mean, it's sort of, I don't know, really. I guess it's also that time when you're 15, the whole world is just the World Cup and that's it. But there's no kids, there's no work, there's no, oh my God, I've got a hangover, there's no, what am I doing Saturday? It's the World Cup. And that, I mean, I'm a cricket man, so we had cricket in World Cup. But in general, it was just, this is the World Cup. This is the epicentre of my whole planet. I'm 15. I can't go to a club. I can't really pull birds unless you're you, obviously, Lee. You're an absolute lad.
Yeah.
Or anything else. So it's
Married now.
All I'm going to do is watch the World Cup. And it's absolutely wicked. But
it is good. Four games a day is decent as well. Four games a day. And they're all decent kickoff times as well.
They are good. Well, the only thing I was going to say to you is, and from all the my random question, which isn't overly brilliant, we've got the last game today. Is there anyone in particular who thought, right, they're my team for this year? I take England out of it. Who are you fancying?
No one else other than England.
No one else. There's not one other team that you feel like, do you know what?
France might be my concern. Mbappe's decent. But other than watching England the other day, there's not one team that touches us. Well, our three subs that came on the other day, Grealish, Wilson, and who's the other kids that came on?
No idea. Foden. I didn't get to watch second half.
Foden, well, yeah, would get in pretty much every other team.
I think that England are the team to beat, but I don't know. It's always
said,
one of the weird
ones,
isn't
it? Look at Germany. Like, look at Germany. Germany's old team. Yeah. And then you look at the German team now. They're 20-1 to win the World Cup. That's madness to me. But
you also look at like Italian 90 and the Belgian team were terrible. When you look at them now, and it's like every one of you looks
still
like
terrible.
You can, oh, don't be so silly.
Who, the Belgian team?
The Belgian team, absolutely brilliant. Have you seen the state of their players?
Did you see them the other day?
Of course. One game they weren't very good.
Kevin De Bruyne is the only player they got. And he looked
they've
awful.
Won nine group stage matches in a row.
But they can't
they came
it in
third
the
in the last World Cup. They can't be that bad.
But they look awful. Their team ain't even good. Look at their team. It ain't even that good.
Look, the only person looking awful around here is not our guest.
Them
it's
three
you,
players
right?
I just named would get in the Belgium team.
Well, I think you need to bring our guest in. We need to sort this out because this is getting out of hand.
Let's introduce. Right, we have the Wimbledon MD, Danny Macklin. How are you? You good?
Yeah, good evening. Nice to finally put a face to the names. I've been listening to your podcast for another week, played catch up on a good number of episodes as soon as I knew I'd got the role. So yeah, it's good to meet, good to chat.
Have you seen any? I know we jested off air, but have you watched any of the World Cup? Is it something that you get? I mean, you must be so busy. We must give you at least 5 minutes off a day, don't we?
Been watching a few games.
Okay.
Blessed that obviously we were able to watch the England Iran game up in the Silver Lounge. That was good. Had a good 150, and obviously tomorrow night, as this comes out, will be tonight. Completely sold out for about 350.
Wow, that's epic.
England USA game, so that should be a good atmosphere. Good 150 down in the pub downstairs, so it's going to be. Yeah, it's going to be pumping, I think, so tomorrow night, hopefully with an England win. I haven't seen much else. I watched 5 minutes of the Germany game and 5 minutes of the Argentina game, but it's sort of been in the background and sort of watching as other teams, lose around us.
I've got a few of my mates going down to Plough Lane tomorrow to watch the England game. I think they've got about four or five tables down there. So
yeah, it's going to be busy. And my favourite drink is any lager. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, any lager.
Oh, well, bless you, Dan. Well, thanks for coming on. So basically, as you know, with all these, we just ask questions. So my first question to you basically is your role, in a nutshell, what exactly is it that you're going to be doing for our amazing football club?
Yeah, good question. So I'm now week 3.5 or so into the role. My main remit is to make sure that we have the infrastructure to be able to grow our revenues far more. To increase our profit contribution from all of our activities. So that will range from commercial to retail to non-match day to hospitality, ticketing, you name it, every single revenue stream that's either coming into the club or could in the future come into the club. And it's about providing an operational structure at the stadium to allow that to be successful and also provide the platform for others to be able to succeed in their roles, whether that's from the football side or non-football side. Whilst I'm focused on the non-football side, I want to make sure that we've got a culture across the club. When I did my first sort of all-staff meeting, I said the three C's, which is communication, culture and collaboration. If we can get those three bang on, it sounds a management cliche, which I don't normally use, we'll fly on and off the pitch if we can get that. We certainly seem to be doing it on the pitch, thanks to Johnny and the guys. Over the last 10 or so games and a real sort of turn of fortune. We've got to take now that energy into making sure we've got a platform for growth, which is not going to happen tomorrow. There's a lot to be done. Most of it is good and is going to be beneficial, but we've got to make sure we've got the structure there to really build it.
So what is it like, Danny? You've walked into a job. Obviously, Wimbledon has come with its past and stuff and you're applying for it. What is it like when you walk into the job, first day, and you've got 150 people in front of you and you're like, I need to lay my marker down here, or we need to. How do you go even think about going about that? That's incredible.
Yeah, I had a sort of 3 month period where obviously I was in the process of leaving the agency that I've set up, which Hasten to Add is still very much going. So I had 3 months of sort of thinking, mostly in the middle of the night, of things that I could do, that I should do. Obviously, I've done this now. This is my fourth sporting club, and it is just really about meeting everyone you possibly can. become a sponge. I sort of do my first 100 days challenge of making sure that I get to know every single wart, every single thing that's good, everything that needs to be changed quickly, that needs to be changed long term, and understand that and effectively just absorb everything possible, because it's, you know, there's a lot to do in this role, all of which I'm truly excited about.
Yeah, because I didn't go to the game the other day, the Tuesday night game, and I think some people said they see you out and about because some of the queues were quite long to get into the turnstiles. Some of the bars were quite long and stuff, and people did say they noticed you around. And is that stuff that you were looking at and thinking, right, this ain't good enough, or this needs to be changed? What, like, do you know what I mean? And people, not you'll get it. You'll get it with most clubs. People start moaning straight away, but you'll be like, right, I'm taking it on board, and this is something that we're going to implement so it doesn't happen going forward.
Yeah, I think the rumour had got around that Danny was going to get a round in. So,
crikey, that would have gone on all the way around the corner. They're still waiting at Tooting, I think.
So, all joking apart, there's lots of little bits that can be done. As my team colleagues will sort of say, I accept really high standards and expect that to be delivered, whether that's making sure that people don't have to queue any longer than they are for a half-time pie and a pint, or getting in the ground in the first place to buy a ticket or to come in. That's what has to be done. And yeah, I make sure that next time that doesn't happen again.
So you've obviously you alluded earlier about your agency and the other sports club, which is amazing. You probably weren't in a particular hurry to go, right, I need to go into this. Why us, mate? What was it about the job? What was it about the club? What was it about the timing for you that you felt that right now, this is the way I want to go, and this is the club that you want to get into next, if you like?
Yeah, it's probably a long answer to this, so bear with me. But yeah, I did just under 5 years at Leighton Orient. Loved it as CEO. Absolutely,
it's great over there, isn't it? Really good.
It's a great club.
Yeah,
it was enjoyable to get the win the other day, but for any reason, it was just 3 points. But it's a great club, and yeah, I've got friends for life in the owners, the fans, and the staff and the players that are there. Set up an agency that's doing really well, sponsorship agency called Synonymous, and my then business partner Daryl's still running that. And I saw the opportunity, met with Mick, met with others, including Nick Robertson, who kind of blew my mind away in terms of his desire, his love for it. And in conversations with Mick and Chris Stewart over a period of weeks, I just grew to think, wow, this is something quite special. Always looked out for the Wimbledon results, as I think I've alluded elsewhere. My family, prior to me coming along into the family, lived next door to Justin Fashanu and to John as well. So small world. Also got to sort of know them, but it was quite strange. And used to have wombles as a kid. It's a really strange thing to admit to as a 15-year-old, but used to have wombles as a kid that we used to pretend they'd been to the game. I was young, hasten to add.
We've all got our things in the closet. They're all just coming out now. That's fine. You keep throwing these games out.
They'd been to the Wimbledon game. I was, and obviously in my heart, a Gillingham fan, apart from when we play them. And it's just weird how these things come around. I've always had an affinity. Was at one of the first games that was Wimbledon-Gillingham during the protest time. And just, it is a result I've always looked out for with fondness. Got friends that are fans, and I'd say this club, to say the untapped potential is there. I've just been for a lunch meeting with a couple of people in Wimbledon Village. First time I've been up there properly.
It's lovely there, isn't it?
And I just sort of see the potential that's there. I don't just mean affluence. I just mean the, you know, people. I go on my way home I sort of reside in Collierswood during the week, and I go into every news agent's, every shop imaginable, and ask the question. They probably think I'm mad now. I haven't gone into anywhere twice since we had. Can you tell me where Plough Lane is? Where do Wimbledon play? And I'm not getting the answer. Yeah, turn left, turn right, it's down there. I'm getting vague answers. I don't know. Didn't know they were even back. Not sure. I've literally out of maybe 100 odd, I've had the actual definitive answer.
Danny, do you think that's a club thing, or do you think that's a borough thing? Do you think that we as a club, we haven't done enough, or maybe the area, the borough itself hasn't celebrated it? What do you think?
Bit of everything. I don't think it helps that obviously we moved back during COVID. That clearly,
that's fair.
If you were designing it, that wouldn't have happened. And we came in and were sadly losing more games than we were winning. I think that tide has now turned, thanks to Johnny and everyone else. And I think we now can go to market and say, look, yeah, this is a good product. It's not, you know, It's not Premier League, and we're proudly at the moment not in terms of the offering that we can give. You can get up and up close and personal. There's no VAR, and it's, you know, it's proper football. And all of our history that we've got, it allows us to pull to an audience and pull at the heartstrings and mind.
Great. So, yeah, I agree with Danny saying it was odd regards to COVID coming in, and we had the ground there, and then we are doing good things to get people back in. Is there anything? Have you seen anything already that you think, right, this is something I'm going to put in place now, as in keeping people in the ground, getting new people in the ground, and stuff like that? Because there's a few ideas I was having just thinking about you coming on and saying, we like TikTok and Twitter and everything, and all the influencer game is now massive. And there's guys like the Padded Seat. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yeah.
The guy goes around and he goes around to different hospitalities from Hayes and Yedin. And I think he was out recently down out in Saudi somewhere watching the F1. Having people like that, invite them down and say, can you, and especially with our food trucks out the back of the, going to food vloggers like the Food Review Club. I know a couple of Wimbledon fans who I know personally know him. And saying to him, look, come down to the ground, have a my pie on us kind of thing, and just put it on your Instagram, and then just boom, that's 80,000 people. That, do you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Is that stuff that you're looking at quick wins kind of
100%. Thing? And it's not just national people that can do that Padded Seat. I wish I'd come up with that model.
Oh, yeah.
Having done the research of some data I've got available, is that the amount of mini micro influencers that are perhaps a family, and they blog and TikTok, etc., about their lifestyle. There's a lot of them live in Southwest London, and I want to engage with them and bring them on board, get them to have a good experience, TikTok about it, whatever it is, post about it, tweet about it, etc., and bring crowd. That's just one mechanism that we're going to be exploring in early 2023.
Lee, please.
It's like, because me and my son went to a game last season, and they had some influencer, I don't know, a poet or something. My boy knew who he was going, oh, look, it's the poet. And I was like, I have no idea who he is. I'm here to do the museum tour. But they got involved. But it didn't seem to get the traction that they wanted, or I don't think we wanted anything out of it, which we need to invite, as I said, the right people that go, right, this is the My Pie is brilliant at Wimbledon. This is what, you know what I mean? You're coming down to have brilliant food and you're watching a game of football, and you hopefully get more people through the door. So, yeah go on, Danny.
We agree.
No, it was just one of the interesting things, obviously, since your appointment, and we knew you were coming. What seems to be quite interesting is, as me and Lee talk a lot about communication, and a lot about, and it seems to be already the fact that you've come on here just shows that you're happy to have a conversation in an honest way, and just hopefully in a lighthearted, fun way. But what has become very clear is that you're very visible. It seems to be that you've been happily going onto Twitter. You've been using online platforms. We speak a lot about people like Darren McAntony, who is the podcast, Andy Hull with Accrington. The way that they communicate has been very direct. Is that something that you feel is advantageous? One of the reasons perhaps why you're sitting here now is your willingness to engage with the fan base, bearing in mind, obviously, we're a fan-owned club. Is that something that is as a conscious thing, or is it just naturally, you're Danny Macklin, and this is the way that you do things?
How I do things, and pride myself on it, of being available, perhaps too available at times. I've been on the other shoe and seen what a lack of communications looks like as a fan of certain football clubs. And it frustrates me, infuriates me, and I want to make sure that I put myself in the mind of the AFC Wimbledon fan. There's a reason they're asking that question. It's because they want it answered, and we should be answering that swiftly. I'm probably the fastest responder if someone emails me, especially if there's an issue. I want to deal with that right there and then, so that they're not chewing over it, not sleeping on it. We introduced a 24-hour or one working day email response to people that did have inquiries, which has been received really well. And we're delivering on that, because we were, at times, through no fault of anyone, we were sitting on inquiries. They perhaps get lost in the system. I don't want that. I want to, you know, that might be a fan who's inquiring about bringing a family down, and that reply may mean they never come down to stadium.
Is there something that's kind of blown your mind a little bit, that these kind of things weren't in place previous to you coming in? Because for me, that seems like a 24-hour thing. I think, again, communication's huge. Danny said it, you've said it. And I think most Wimbledon fans would say the thing that they get fed up about and frustrated with at the club is communication. So that 24-hour response thing is just what I thought would have been in place previously, not having to go anyone else or no, but is that saying you've come in and thought, wait a minute, why is this, why was this not in place? Why did you need me to come in and tell you this wasn't kind of,
I think it's enough? Ownership really. And it's, yeah, I'm never going to criticize however small or big issues are that have got to be resolved. And I say there's nothing that's major. They're all like lots of little bits, but anyone would find that if, you know, any person comes in here in 6 months time and 12 months, say, well, why on earth didn't you spot that, Danny, sort of thing. It's just piecemeal, and I'm a perfectionist as much as I can. I want to make that experience of the fan journey, and in some cases the customer journey, to be 10 times better. I want us to have the best fan experience in football in this country, from buying a ticket to going to the game to going home afterwards to being followed up.
So whilst one of the big things I've always been fascinated with, and again, I'm really pleased that you've come on, I'm really fascinated as to, from the outside in, what do we look like as a club? Because obviously we've kind of prided ourselves on being a fans club. We've kind of prided ourselves on being the good news story, or, you know, with the whole MK thing, and wherever people sit is up to them. I'm just curious, from an outside looking in, you haven't got a rose petal in for us, but what for the average football fan, what do we look like to them?
It's a great
question.
Does
that question. Make sense? Sorry to interrupt.
It's a great question. And I want to, whilst I've got my own answer, I want to do that to market research. And,
okay,
you know, I want to speak to someone who lives near Chelsea, of, you know, what do they think about us? Someone who lives Merton that's not spoke to us, Sutton, et cetera, et cetera. The whole wide, exceptionally populated area, and just put, look, we are on your doorstep. We've got a phenomenal history and a future that we want to try and recreate a touch of that history in us in a magnificent stadium that's well connected, that's a fine facility, in a friendly, you know, all-inclusive environment. Come and try us. And I think that's the message. And that's, we launched Football for a Fiver today, and that's exactly the sort of scheme that will go, oh, I'll go to that because it's an investment of a fiver, and if I have a great experience, I'll go another day.
Yeah, I was going to mention the scheme for the fiver. Is that something that you've brought in? Because I know, again, this is your idea, because Orient are doing it as well. I don't know if you know that, or is that so? Do you know what I mean? Because my mate's a Colchester fan, and they're going to the Orient Colchester game, I think, for a fiver. And he said to me, "Aren't you fancy?" And I was like, "Not really. You know what I mean? I'm a Wimbledon fan. I don't really want to fancy Orient Colchester." But yeah, this, I think that's a great idea. Why was the reasoning behind the game choke? Because for me, Stockport are going to bring loads of away fans anyway. Do you know what I mean? So I thought, oh, maybe it could have been done against we've already played Harrogate, but a Crewe or someone, do you know what I mean? Someone that's not going to bring as many away fans.
Yeah, I wanted to do it in January. That was our first thing, that of certainly avoiding third round of the FA Cup. I know it's fourth round, but if we get there, well, that'll be a lovely problem to have.
Yes.
to rearrange that offer and date. But it wanted to work. We wanted to get someone that did create a good atmosphere. If we worried that we'd have someone that might only in respect bring 300 fans, and the atmosphere is not as great. So I want to create that against a club that long ago weren't in the Championship, and really, yeah, create a buzz at the Cherry Red Record Stadium come that date at the end of January.
So you've obviously, you're relatively new in the job. I'm just curious of what's on your Christmas list in terms of, you've got a month. Is it possible for you, just you've done the games for a fiver. By the way, the 24-hour email thing is a fantastic thing. The reason why I say it, and Lee's nodding his head, the amount of times that I've sent an email, or I've rung, or I've tried to sort something, and again, like you said, it is absolutely no one's fault at all. But I've been waiting, or we had problems with the season ticket. Me and my dad, we sit behind the goal in the home end, and we wanted to be right behind the goal. We had a problem with basically the how-to. Eventually, where we wanted to be, which is literally just by the right hand post, we're at the end of the row. Now it's 30 seats, but Dad's 72. I've obviously got my mates, and we're lucky that we're together. But the old community that we would normally stood with at King's Meadow, we're there at the other end of the row, and it's great. And one of the great things of football is, you know, you catch up with people and you connect, you make new mates. And I thought it was a really, really interesting thing that you did around that 24 hour, because it just means that, okay, I've not been forgotten, or I can get in touch with. But I was just curious, in terms of Christmas coming, have you got any sort of short-term things that you're thinking, do you know what, that is a little thing I'm going to target? Like you said, whether it is, it's a market research to all the local schools, businesses in the area. Is it all the local pubs? I want you to come and watch, have a, you know, come and watch a game with us and celebrate what have you got lined up in the short term that's just going to give you a better understanding of what we need to do moving forward?
Yeah, we're looking at, I could list it for a thousand years, but we're looking at putting themes behind each game like we did for the Black History Month, like we did for the Oktoberfest, etc. We want to put, yeah, maybe on two-thirds of the remaining games, something to hang the coats on and to make it a little bit special. Bringing back ex-players, saying that we really want to expand upon what we've done in the past and make that truly part of the spectator experience for everyone. There's a thousand things we've got to try and get done before Christmas, but ultimately it's building a platform for early next year. We want to build on this Football for a Fiver. I don't just want to give a fiver a ticket away and they never turn up. I want to get the community ticket scheme relaunched. Again, if we're giving 200 tickets to your school, Danny, we want to know who those 200 students and mums and dads that are coming into the stadium so that we can future target them with relevant promotional pushes and offers.
Can I say that one of the big things that all my mates enjoyed, and you probably heard on the previous, was the DJ. The DJ after the game, I think we lost, or it was a horrendous game. And they said they would come off fuming. They wanted to shout at the players or just, moan about the whole game. And they come in and the DJ was playing banging tunes. And they were like, oh, it's hard to get angry now. This is like wicked. Let's go have a few drinks.
You borrowed his headphones, didn't it?
Sorry.
Yeah. Hey, and that Sutton game, everyone needed it. Crikey, that was absolutely mental. Yeah. So what, Danny, what is the ultimate or the dream match day experience like that we're looking for? We've got a fantastic concourse. We've got great food options. We've got a great pub. We've got the shop. We've got the statues outside. We're near Tooting. What do you feel like is, when do you think we've kind of got to that level where you're going to feel like, you know what, that is our match day standard? You said high standards, which I think is obviously excellent. But what should be the Wimbledon offer where a fan comes and goes, bloody hell, I'm coming back? You can't control the football, but everything else, what does it look like, do you think?
I think it, depending on your age, race, your food values of vegan, etc., and religion, etc., that you've come in and have a product and a beer if it's relevant to your to your beliefs, or several beers if it's relevant to your beliefs, arrived early, queued for just a couple of minutes, being able to use your season card to act as your bank card with preloaded ability to take a pint. It's been just pre-poured a moment before you've wanted it. You've had a nice lunch. You've flipped through the programme. You've watched the Leeds against Man City on the pre-lunch game. You've had the team news on the screens come to you bang on 2 o'clock. You've perhaps had the walk around of an ex-player. You've had a walk around with Hayden. Kids have been entertained and not just chucked in a corner with a couple of turkey Twizzlers. They've truly been entertained and have enjoyed it. Countdown comes to the kickoff really quickly. You get in your seat, you hear the buzz of we're going to update some music on there so that we've got past clips of historic moments at Wembley on the times we've been there, etc. And that really paint the picture in 2 minutes of blitz music so that Johnny and the team, if that doesn't pump them up, nothing will. And I think get hairs on the back of the neck, enjoy the same experience, halftime, quick service, and half of the game, stay there for as absolutely long as you can. Putting DJs and entertainment in there. We've got new sort of shuffle boards that you'll see for those that come in here tomorrow or Saturday. And yeah, you will see that we're going to slowly but surely improve that ambience, improve the experience, and it for it to be somewhere that I want to go, stay, and come back.
That's a brilliant down around the stadium and stuff, and the getting the normal fan. My thing would be the hospitality. Do we have any plans on? Because in my view, and don't take it too, is that the hospitality needs to be raised up a little bit, because we were looking at today for the Stockport game, and I see the prices. I think it's 1,000 for 12. 1,500 for, no, I can't remember, but yeah, it was 1,000 for 12. And I said to the boys, you fancy 18 of us getting a box, but you only get, say, two drinks with that. You get a welcome drink and then a drink at halftime, a match day program, and then a sit down meal. And our thing was like, we wouldn't really want the sit down meal if we were going for hospitality. We'd rather, I went to hospitality at Rangers once, and we had an hour and a half before the game, free kind of bar, half time you have a pie with some tea and coffee, and then you get an hour bar after. But no one went mental with the bar. You know what I mean? We weren't just stinks because we had football. We got shown around the ground by one of the old boys who showed us the trophy room at Rangers. And it was just such a great experience. I just think at them prices, I was looking, one of my mates said, it's not value for money for us as normal fans, especially if we've got a season ticket as well, to go, right, let's pay £100 a head plus what we've probably paid £20. We're looking at £120. And I'd rather eat at the CAF and then go in and have a few more beers kind of thing.
I mean, is hospitality, Dan, an easy sell? I mean, I don't know how it works in other clubs. And like Lee said, you've got Old Trafford and you've got the bit, it's a citadel and it's you've got everything with it. With Wimbledon, it must be, we've got so much to offer. But is it quite a hard sell lower down? With Leighton Orient's example, is it quite hard?
It is, yeah, across this level. You're selling typically to fans that are either done well in business or want to have a treat or can afford just to go out for a meal, rather than, say, go down to another restaurant. What we need to work on is getting in the people that aren't ever using hospitality, because there's either a stigma to attach to it that it's going to be rubbish, it's not going to be value for money. We are going to completely relaunch our offerings in the majority of our lounges, certainly in the Silver Lounge. I don't think the offering's quite right and needs to be better done. So we had a long, long meeting with our catering partners, Elior, yesterday to share our views, share our thoughts, get feedback from both sides of how we fine-tune not just the product, but the service and the ambience of that and other lounges.
Right. What's, in terms of our, we've kind of spoken a little bit about you and what you've been up to and, you know, hearing about your past. We've spoken a bit about the short term. Long term, Dan, what is success? What would you define? I know it's one of those, you can probably hear, I would listen to like the High Performance Podcast with Jake Humphreys and listening to, really, if you haven't listened to it, it's a great little commuter in. There's great people on there talking about how they've managed to get to the very, very dizzy heights. But for you, in a nutshell, in however long you're here, how would you define whether you've been successful or not? Would it be club in League One? Would it be the fan experience? Would it be the debt paid off? Would it be an academy? It's probably a mixture, but where do you kind of put your early success? What is it going to be?
Yeah, for me, it's about creating holes that may exist in budgets and in forecasts and filling those holes in a sustainable, I don't just mean money, but I mean economically and environmentally sustainable way, doing it in a morally correct way to generate revenue as much as we can. That helps us pay debt and, as importantly, put extra figures onto Johnny's playing budget, continue to support the women's team, the academy structure, and do everything we can to make sure the stadium is as fruitful as it can. So to re-stress, I think we discussed earlier on, is, you know, making sure that every single person in this club pulls together in one direction instead of, we can collaborate together. There are sometimes fractions that need to be brought together. Ultimately, we all exist here to generate a successful AFC Wimbledon on and off the pitch. We're, you know, clearly very rightly proud of it off the pitch. And I believe there's something that could be created here to make us that, you know, on the pitch and in the medium and in with what looks like's been created over the last couple of months.
Because you did say that regarding fractions, I'm not sure if you know too much regards to the Don's Trust elections are happening at the moment. So there's some fractions regarding fan ownership or do we sell the club? Do you know what I mean? Looking for outside investment to come in. What would you say are going to be your biggest challenges, that Danny, at the club? Is it going to be making sure that the fans are on site and that we're all pushing together? Because I said, I think it's one of the major things at Wimbledon at the moment is there's like one side is sell, the other side is fan, and it can get quite toxic between fans. I don't know if you're aware of stuff that's been going on previous before you come in, but yeah, it can be quite nasty stuff that happened to Niall Cooper, who was on Don's Trust board. Yeah, and I agree with what you're saying, is trying to pull everyone together, but that doesn't always work, unfortunately. And yeah, what are your biggest challenges that you're going to see as the MD of AFC Wimbledon?
I think it's that we've got to do an awful lot at once, and it's what we prioritise. There's a lot to do on the second floor. There's a huge amount on the third floor, just from an operational point of view. There's stuff to be done at the training ground to enhance that. For example, we need a new kitchen. And it's about the culture and setting objectives, visions, purpose, KPIs, going what you like, to all staff members, so that if they pull in the right direction, which they will, we'll collectively achieve that goal. So it's, to me, it's about the culture above all else, is getting that in and a common goal, and reminding people that we exist to make the team successful.
And how important, Danny, is success on the pitch? Obviously, I love Robbo in terms of what he was trying to achieve, and his kind of messaging and his philosophy and the way that he was, what he was trying to do. I think the one thing that was really clear with him is it was just a clear message of this is how we're going to do things. And yes, we were unsuccessful and it was pretty heartbreaking. And we obviously had a challenging start at the beginning of the year. Obviously, we've really hit a crest of a wave. It seems like through change of formation, through what, you know, personnel, through, you know, a bit of luck that wasn't normally there, all of a sudden happens. How closely related, Danny, is success on the pitch to what you're trying to achieve in terms of the match day experience, in terms of getting those gaps filled? Or is it a case of, I'll get this bit done, that will be, whatever happens there is what happens, but we get this bit done properly? Or is there a case of, no, we've really got to get this done? Or is it a case of, the team's got to play well to help me sell? How does the sort of that triangle work?
Yeah, it becomes instead of a triangle, it becomes a train line. Both have got to work, the performance on the pitch. But what I want to make sure is that, okay, a diehard fan is only going to be happy if the team has competed, got a good result, and that the burger wasn't stone cold and that the beer range was good. They didn't queue up half an hour for it. They're all going to be good things. Obviously, when the results are going worse, then all of those other elements become bad at the same time as well. So yeah, for me, it's just about creating an experience, certainly for some new fans that come in, that the result is important, but it's not everything, which to the likes of us would sound like madness, because it is.
No, from a Wimbledon community, it makes perfect sense, because, as you know, that a lot of the fan base are, no, we're a supporters-run club, we've got our club back. So, and many of the supporters are like, do you know what, we're a fan-owned model, and it's more than, and again, the Wimbledon, I haven't got to tell you, the club is more than the match. It's everything that it stands for. It's the Phoenix, it's the rising above the ashes, it's the, you know, the sort of the appealing to the people to keep Wimbledon going. It's the Egil Olsen leaving his boots on the desk. It's Charlie Coppell. It's standing there, you know, watching the last game at Power Lane, and I watch it at Selhurst, and all of a sudden we're at the MK Stadium. It's so much bigger, but it's just such a, you're so right. It's just such a delicate balance, getting the balance between this is what you want as a club, and then that's the kind of the result. And you've got the result guys, and it's such a weird dynamic that you've got to deal with. I don't know, how do you even start to do that? Because you've got so many different stakeholders, haven't you, in a group? You've got the diehard fans, you've got the guys who couldn't give a monkeys, as long as with the Don's Act, you know, the local action group, go out and do that. How can you possibly bring everyone together? Is it a case of just helping everybody, or is it like, no, this club is going to be sustainable, earn money, chalk off this debt, and then the football side, if we get this right, they're in the best place for success? Or is there a different way around it?
Segmentation of approach, really. It's how we approach those different groups, and those that want to see us win 46 games a year, and those that want us are happy to come and see a performance where we win, you know, less games. To me, it is just there's no one fix and no one marketing message that goes to everyone, because that won't work. And what you might want will be entirely different to what Lee might want in terms of that experience of being able to bring children, etc. That's what we've got in the stadium. We could provide different levels of the fan that just wants to turn up at 2:55 versus the fan that is happy to get there at 12, stay till 6, have a four-course meal, have a few beers, have a nice glass of tannin wine, etc.
So Danny mentioned there, like, obviously previous management and staff regarding strategies we had from the Donnchadh board, that we would be in the championship in 5 years, stuff like that. Have you come in now and just ripped that all up and gone, right, this is you, is it your strategy now going forward? And everyone falls in line with that. And if they don't fall in line with that, then there might not be a place for them working at, say, AFC Wimbledon.
So, yeah, I'm building the strategy using the template that was presented, which I think was 12, 18 months ago, updating that, not throwing it out with the bathwater, because it doesn't need to be. Yeah. and enhancing that on areas. You know, I want to base it in the next couple of months to be able to present as I get to the end of my 100 days to say, right, this is where we've got to change. This is what the mini bits we have already changed. This is the structure. We need to change that. These are what we need to do to generate these levels of revenues. And if we do that, all being well, we'll generate these level of profits.
And you mentioned Nick Robertson earlier. He's on the PLC board. That I guess, I think me and Danny, we're not 100% sure all the time on who reports. You're reporting to the PLC board, is that correct? So that's
So Nick is my, you know, my day today is him being chairman. He's my direct, but then I produce a report monthly to the PLC board. Yeah,
and is that someone you're going to use with like lean on kind of thing, Nick Robinson? Because we all know that he run a multi-millionaire business. Do you know what I mean? ASOS is one of the biggest clothing brands in the country. Is that someone you're going to lean on? Is that someone you're going to go, look, can we get a couple of your mates to come in and do this? Do you know what I mean?
Come on, Danny, lean on him, son.
You must know someone who owns a kitchen brand who can come in.
Elon Musk is busy, apparently. Get him as well.
Do you know what I mean?
People like Nick knows a lot of people in his passion. I've been fortunate enough to spend some time with him this week, and he's been his passion, his knowledge, his desire, and just his general approach to it is intoxicating and in a really good way. I'll be continuing to have chats with Nick. I've been saying there are many others on the Don's Trust board, as well as the PLC board, that are exceptional business leaders. Get the ins and outs of run businesses to a super stupid scale, and have to tap that in.
Can I ask, Danny, how concerning? And again, I talk completely from no knowledge at all. How concerning is the debt? Now, we obviously, you know, we have this amazing stadium, and it's kind of been, I wouldn't say it's been a bock on us at all, because we're back home, and I love going to Plough Lane. I went a long, long time ago to the old Plough Lane when I was a little boy. And I mean, my first ever game of football was Wimbledon Liverpool. My dad pulling me to the front of the turnstile, to the front of the terrace, and I could see it. And it was just going back there. It's been so wonderful. But how challenging is it going to be for you to achieve what we want to achieve while still trying to manage the debt side of it? I don't want to be too blunt in terms of asking numbers and stuff, but obviously I presume paying the debt off is a multi-year journey. I don't know how long that is. I'm not sure anyone does, and it will depend on success, etc. How do you balance that? We need a new kitchen, we need a training ground, but we've also got to service this debt. How do you kind of, a lot of plates spinning, how do we kind of do that, and how easy is it to be successful?
Difficult to be successful, but that won't be for the want of trying. We have to balance all of our outlooks on where we can get revenue. We'll shoot high on some and we'll probably fail on a couple. It's about making sure that we've got the revenue streams and the systems in order to bring those revenue streams in, to then be able to reduce our debt. And ultimately, as a finance committee, that, and it's not me passing it back, because I'll no doubt be engaged in that heavily, but how the repayment of that structure does, the potential extension of bonds obviously has been mooted by many, but yeah, there's nothing off the table about how that can be looked at so that we've got a sustainable football club. I think if the regulations go where they should do in terms of governance and central independent regulator, if that happens, football all of a sudden may actually be able to do a thing called make a break even, or God forbid, make a profit.
Oh, wow. Okay. Steady on, mate.
Yeah, are we close to that? No, but if it does, it will mean, provided the money just doesn't go straight into in one ticket and go out the other, we and other football clubs will be, you know, should be able to be self-sustainable. We can't just rely on that. If that comes, that is an added bonus. We've just got to milk everything we can do and identify new streams, whether that be esports, whatever it is, we will explore it with detail. And if it make it work for a profit, you'll see it.
And Danny, from a fan's point of view, obviously, you know, we're a fan's own club, and I'm very proud to be a Wimbledon fan, not just because of the club and the journey, but as a group of fans, by and large, we're a pretty good bunch. We've been quite loyal with a lot of managers, etc. How can we help you achieve your goals? Or more importantly, how can we help you achieve our goals? What can we as fans do? What do you need us to do, apart from making a load of racket on a Saturday or a Tuesday night?
Yeah, that definitely comes a long way. I tried to record it. I was too excited. When we had those sort of turnarounds against
Harrogate was loud, wasn't it? Crikey.
And listening to that and seeing that firsthand, that's the moments of why you get into football. That's the moments why we go to football. I think it is just literally creating that atmosphere. That atmosphere. If you came to that game as a neutral or as a first time or a casual fan, I'm coming back to that. I'm definitely having that. I might not on a Tuesday night, on a quiet Tuesday night when it's 0-0, but I'm going to go. I had a really good pie, really good pint beforehand, caught up with John and Mary. Yeah, I'll have some of that and let's come back. So it's how can we get people in the stadium in the first place? Because I think they'll then come back and then next season buy a half season card, season after buy a season card, and before you know it, they're diehard Dons.
I mean, the kids at our school, they are Chelsea fans. We've got some guys who work in football with us at the school. But the kids who I know, it's been a really wonderful thing, Danny, to go to work. I work in Surbiton. I love the school. I love the kids. But actually seeing kids come up to me and be excited. They know I'm a Wimbledon fan. They don't know about this podcast yet, so I'm trying to keep that as quiet as I can. Otherwise, these 11-year-olds are going to get bundled tomorrow. But it just, they seem to genuinely come up to him. For the very first time, I saw a scarf the other day. And one of the teachers was like, you need to take the scarf off. I was like, you keep that on. But it was just really sort of warm to see. For the very first time, and like I said, I've been a Wimbledon fan for 20 years and I've worked in schools, I've worked at universities, and I haven't seen that. And to actually finally see it, and boys come up to you and go, Mr. Baker, did you go to the game on Tuesday? I thought Zanev was great. Or Mr. Baker, didn't you, Josh Davison's goal against Harrogate? You know, can we practice that? It was such a wicked feeling going to work on Monday, knowing that they were telling me about that. It was just, it was interesting. And I said to them, I said, why are you going? I said, you support Chelsea, you support Fulham, your dad works at Tottenham. Why are you going to watch? And they were like, because I can. And I was like, wow. I was just, when you think about it, in terms of, you talk about all these great football clubs, but these kids are going because it's the only club they can actually go and watch. Yeah. And they watch Chelsea and they watch, you know, Sunday football, they'll record it and they'll go and play for Oxshott Royals or, you know, Wallet and Dynamos or whatever. But on a Saturday, they can go and they can get to the game and watch it. It's such a sort of a special feeling. So I really, like I said, if we can pass on stuff, it's up to you. But I just wanted to say thank you in advance for the little things that you're doing, because it genuinely, in the last 3 weeks, kids are coming up to me and asking me about Wimbledon for the first time in 20 years. And I'm boring the life out of a lot of them to the point that every Monday, my class, it's on the screen. I show them the game. Some of them don't know about it. So they kind of see the highlights and I put it on the telly and I get all excited with my scarf on. And it's just creating a bit of banter about football. We're now doing a predictions league in the class. There's only 8 or 9 year olds, bless them. So it's the Premier League plus the Wimbledon result. And the Wimbledon result's worth double. So bless his kid. Well, I won't say his name. He's going to get a ticket in January because he wants to see if his team get double.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so simple, those little things. And it's just like, I've always believed that how important is it to get the youngsters in? Because
massively. Away, here's an invite. If you are able to bring your class down and get all of the safeguarding stuff that you would no doubt have in place, we'll bring them down and look after them. I want to aim to have 100 school children. Just because I know you teachers, being married to one, do like working all of your weekends and school holidays, so I know that's not a problem. But yeah, what we want to do is to have 100 school kids at every game. They create an atmosphere. They buy stuff in the shop, and above all else, they'll go home and tell their mums and dads and guardians and say, "Yeah, I love that. Let's go back down Plough Lane. They're playing Saturday week."
We've also got the boy in the World Cup, isn't it? Is it Musiala at Germany? He played for AFC Wimbledon at the competition. He's in the World Cup. It's like, much of a story do you need?
One of my mates, Titch, taught him. He said he taught him everything he knew. So
of course he did. Yeah, Rocky. Yeah. Well, taught him German, did he?
Wimbledon used it all the time. Wimbledon FC. Wimbledon FC used to always give tickets away to local children and stuff.
Where in recent years we've just given tickets away, and that's been a problem. To me, given a free ticket, you may as well just give a blank piece of paper. 90% of those tickets don't get used. What we want to do is that we will appeal to, we'd go into Danny's school, for example, and we'd go in there and present, we'd perhaps bring a player, we'd bring Hayden, we'd talk about it and bring a women's or girls player along as well and say, look, guys, we've got this weekend, we're playing Crewe, the ladies team are at home to Fulham, etc. And here's a form for you to go and online and buy the tickets. We then get the data of the child with GDPR and their parents all ticked those boxes, and we can say did you have a good time at the game? Here's your first time match pack. And, you know, if you want to come again, here's an offer. And we build them through, get them once, get them twice, we'll get them 100 times.
I was going to say, is there anything else you've got in the pipeline that you can kind of give us now? Any snippets that you can give?
Please tell us you've got the Lerone Richards title fight. Please tell us you've got anything going. We would go bonkers.
Because I know that you did a boxing event before, because I had a look at your website before.
Yeah, no.
Come over and you did boxing events, and obviously you were at the greatest cricket club in the country. What, so you
Spennington Cricket Club, was it?
Essex, mate. Essex.
The only
cricket.
Sorry, you won the title again, but yeah, we won't talk about that. That's fine.
We could go back through Essex's history and the amount of trophies they've won, if you'd like.
I just think keep it current. That's what I'm saying.
We haven't got all night.
We will have to go down to the Oval for a T20 game or something.
Oh, definitely. I'll be up for
it'll be my pleasure. If you get. I'll bring my kids to the football, and then you can bring your kids to the cricket, and we'll have a great day.
I'll even buy
you a pie and a beer. I'm good for that.
He won't. He already owes me a pie.
Tom and Sam Curran over a few years ago in the bar in Dubai.
Oh wow!
And I was literally with the whole squad now that's pretty much gone on, and most of the ones that won the World Cup. So it's I should have done some videoing on that night.
Mark Wood's a massive Wimbledon fan, isn't he? Mark Wood.
I didn't know that until literally the World Cup final. And
there was two famous people with our retro shirts on last week, Mark Wood and
Jamie T.
T,
yeah. He's a great singer.
I didn't know that about Mark Wood, and I've known him on the circuit for quite a while, so it's a bit strange that he's
massive Wimbledon. Know that. But yeah, anything else in the pipeline that you can give us, anything that can excite the fans that you have coming up that we might be able to get involved in? And
yeah, we're soon going to launch a calendar of events. The stadium is not used enough. Facilities are good. Can they be better? Yes. And will they be better? Definitely. But a calendar of events throughout 2023. The aim is to have something every month that gets people off their seats and think, do you know what? I'll go and give that a go. I've not done X, Y, Z before, I'll go and do that. Or it's an evening with a player that you've not met for ages and want to hear an anecdotal story. And yeah, we'll be doing a magnitude of things to get that stadium more used.
Well, that's what me and Danny said. Like, I think it was last week or the week before, we said about there's no like events such as a night with Dave Anderson and Terry Brown. Do you know what I mean? I know it's not massive, going to bring in massive amounts of money, but it will be bringing people into the stadium when it ain't been used. Yeah. Me and Danny said about kids coming down and stuff like that. I mentioned before about a Junior Don's Day, Junior Don's Trust Day. So you get all the kids to send pictures in. If that player scores, Josh Davison scores, we use one of the kids on Twitter as the goal. You use one. You have one with Chris Football Day, who does some of the stuff for the media. You have one sitting with Mikey T and doing the commentators. You have Alice 8 from South Wimbledon with Mikey T doing the comment, and you just use all the kids to help out from the Juniors Don's Trust and just get involved.
Kids takeover day, yeah.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And then
it's a delicate balance, isn't it, with you, Danny? You've got to you want to generate money, which is great, but you need new money. We need to diversify your offer because you kind of want, like, as you said, you've got the football demographic isn't it? It's not 40-year-old white bloke screaming and shouting anymore. It's so much more diverse. You've got disabled people. We've got a much more ethnically diverse group in a wonderful area of ethnic London. It's like we need to think of a way to open up our revenue streams, because, you know, we want to be a club that everyone is welcome, and we like to make everybody welcome. And even the other day, I think, was it the Leighton Orient game? No, it wasn't. It was the Cup game, the Weymouth game. I was in the queue, and the two guys in front of me, they were wearing their Arsenal shirts and their Arsenal season ticket holders. And they were like, never been to Plough Lane before. They wanted a ticket off the 92. But by chatting to them, they were like, again, you know, I whenever I'm not at Arsenal, I might come. I'm looking for an option. And then they quite, you know, after the game, we were walking past and we just patted them back and said, to enjoy the game as well. I'll be back on Saturday. It's just trying to find that way where you can kind of tick everybody. You want to kind of get a hook on everybody. It's like the duck game at the fair. You're trying to get everyone on a hook and then slowly bring them in. It's just how many new and inventive ways.
A dick, Dan.
Of course you would have done. Classic Essex. You'd have probably shot the duck. But so just trying to find out a way of getting different people in. It's a really interesting and wonderful challenge. And I'm really glad that you're doing it. And I'm looking forward to seeing how many different ways we can get new people coming in, because that's the surefire way to expand, to grow, and to give us success on and off the pitch. So well exciting. Happy days. This has been marvellous.
Have you thought about the big wall that we've got? How we're going to use that yet, Danny?
Say that again.
The wall behind the mover stand, that massive wall.
Yeah.
Everyone every year keeps going on about, we've got this massive wall. Why can't we advertise on it? So I didn't know if it would
be the one of the world's biggest advertising boards. I think when we've got a sponsor that wants to paint that wall, whatever it is, then yeah, 100% agree. It's there's assets on the roof. We're on a pretty big flight line to Heathrow most of the time, and it's there's lots there.
So we need painter and decorators, and we need a new kitchen.
You've heard it here first.
If anyone's listening, get in contact. What kind of kitchen do we need, Danny?
Your standard commercial, be a mini one, kitchen with combi oven, with glass washer, with dishwasher, with washing up facilities, all that prep area. We've got to professionalise certain elements of, the staff are brilliant at the training ground, but we've got to give them the tools to up our game. It's all those 0.1% that help drive a Saturday come through.
Because you never know, people listen, and I know that surprises many, but some people do listen to the podcast, and there might be someone out there who goes, right, I love Wimbledon, if I can help. Do you know what I mean? We've got a sponsor on this, Season Master. You'll be surprised how many, if you ask Wimbledon fans to do something, they usually do it. Look at the ground, for example. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, we're not all for fan ownership, but...
You know where I am if there's anyone that ticks those boxes that over the next couple of months has some spare time to... One of the most important things is what the players eat post-training. At the moment, we have to find a way. We do find a way, but it's not the way that we should be doing it.
They're not on pot noodles anymore, then?
Not on pot noodles, no.
Meal deals, though. Mine's just $3.50 now. It wasn't
$3.40. $3.40 now, meal deal, Dan.
Is it really?
With a club card.
Oh, getting mullered everywhere.
And that's another thing that Tesco's do well. You have to be a club card member now, so they've got all your details and everything. So they've got everything about you. So they know what you're buying, all the offers they send you. Yeah, madness. But
thanks for coming on, Danny. This has been really, really kind of you. I know you're a very busy man. Are you okay? Are you settled in all right?
Yeah, settled in.
Kids okay? Everything all sorted out and good?
Yeah, got my flat in Collingswood area. I go home for a couple of nights a week. So I've got two youngsters and a third on the way. So
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I found that one out. The good news shortly after, or day after I signed my contract with the club.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That one's probably still bigger than either, bless him.
Yeah, not far off.
What a life that is.
That is awesome. My
9-year-old Harry's coming to his first game on Saturday down at Plough Lane. So he keeps going on about what is this? You keep going on about the Dons, who on earth are they? So going to let him see it firsthand on Saturday.
Well, bless you. Well, like I said, it's been great having you. Thanks ever so much. I'm really pleased that you've taken the time. Hopefully, fans out there have listened to it and enjoyed it. But well done, Lee, as well, bud. Great to have another great guest on. Thanks, mate.
Yep.
Thanks very much, Danny, for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Felly. So to interrupt. But yeah, I want to be the most open, communicative, available MD, CEO, whatever others would call it. But as the MD, I want to open up those channels of communication. No such thing as a bad idea. There might be something that someone comes to me. I remember Owen had a phenomenal idea to come to us, was for a player's wife. From across the fan base, across our sponsors, stakeholders, called what we all like, I'm all ears. I'm at the end of a Twitter post. I'm at the end of an email. Open for any conversation, pre-game, post-game, etc. Don't be afraid to stop me in the bar, in the street, wherever I am. I'm just saying, if I can give you an answer, and if I haven't, and if we've got something wrong, we'll repair it and make sure that doesn't happen for you or others next time around.
No, we really appreciate it. I think that's what literally every Wimbledon fan wants to hear, really, at the moment. As I said, the one thing is communication, and that, and you both said it as well, culture. I think they're the two things that need to be changed at Wimbledon, and it looks like we are on that road now to change things for the better, and hopefully we can we can help any way you want. Any questions you have to us, then we're happy. We're ears as well, Danny. So
yeah, I really appreciate that, guys. I shall continue to listen now, listen with interest, as you know, there's some good content that you guys put out, a good bit of a friendly banter, and it's even better to hear when there's a Wimbledon win, and hopefully next week we can be preparing for a lucrative and enjoyable third round FA Cup tie.
Yeah, because most of the time it's just Danny pretending he's funny and then me just moaning about Wimbledon, really.
Well, you've got one of those two facts correctly, and I won't say which one you've got right.
But yeah. Right. Well, Danny, again, thank you very much for joining us tonight. And yeah, we really appreciate it.
Pleasure. We'll here's to a win Saturday. See you then, and enjoy the rest of the
third round. Big third round tour.
That'd be good. Let's see what can be done. Thank you, chaps.
Thanks. Take care. Much,
thanks, buddy. Take care,
bye.
Well, that was amazing. Like, really good to get Danny on, Danny Onley, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed speaking to people like Danny. And I think it's what's needed. I said he did the piece in the programme with Chris, do you know what I mean? And now he's done a podcast and people can hear his voice and know what he sounds like. Because that's what I said a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, he was in the job, didn't know what he sounded like. He could have come on all squeaky or something and be like, could have laughed.
It's just what was interesting as well. I don't know about you, and again, we sort of asked him, I wonder whether the fact that he's very, very out there and visible, I think maybe one of the things that people used to say then about Joe Palmer was about whether he was visible or not. He seems very visible, very
silent
audible.
Joe, which I don't think we're going to get.
Cowboy.
He's not going to be called Silent Danny, is he?
No, definitely not. It's just wicked that, like you said, it would have been very, very easy. And again, Lee, for the guys who are listening, does an amazing job at trying to attract people to come. Anybody's welcome, as you know, but particularly anybody from the club. It can be quite a lot of hard work and a lot of paperwork and stuff. And this hasn't been. Lee literally has just contacted and Danny's been 3 weeks into a job and he's happy to come on a fans forum and have a chat. I think that tells you a lot about the man. So well done, Lee, and well done, Danny. That was great.
It's exciting times ahead, I think. We're winning on the pitch, which is what everyone wants. Even though I've been getting stuff from my mate saying winning don't sell podcasts, which, do you know what I mean, this ain't Arsenal Fan TV. We're happy.
Time to go.
Yeah. but we've already said communication is key and at any football club. And I think that's what's needed. And Danny seems like he has some good ideas. We gave him a few of ours. Do you know what I mean? As I said, I've been hospitality at Rangers. I know a few other people have been at hospitality at high-end clubs, like top, like the big heads. Do you know what I mean? And we need to look at what they're offering and go, right, can we do that, but on a cheaper scale? Because as I said, I wouldn't want a four-course meal, a sit-down meal. If I was doing a box, I'd want me and my mates in the box having a few beers, watching a game, pie at halftime, a few more beers, and then, do you know what I mean?
It's that channel, like we said, he sort of summed it up, and particularly when he was explaining the match day experience. And it's like, you know, one lad's going to turn up at 5 to 3, and it's a case of rather than turn up at 5 to 3, can we get him in at 5 to 2? Or if he leaves at 5 o'clock, can we persuade him to come in for 5:30? And it's just that. Those little, like you said, the 0.1% is the tiny little bits. Can we get that tweak? Can we get that tweak? Can we make the queue 5 minutes rather than 10? Some of my mates at the moment are like, oh, I can't be bothered for a beer at half time. It's just too long. And it's just those tiny little increments. Can he make that happen? And it sounds like he's got ideas, which is good.
As I said, I didn't go to the game, but you know, when I think it was Weymouth on the Tuesday when they only opened one turnstile.
That was me. Yeah, horrendous.
And the bar as well was really long queues. But people did say that we noticed Danny Macklin looking around and walking around. So he would have noticed these things and gone, well, actually, that's not good enough. Do you know what I mean? And he would notice the things. We didn't bring it up with him about the cash only. Because there's stuff that he will know. There's stuff that he'll bring up. We don't need to snitch. You know what I mean? Snitches get stitches. But he'll notice these things. He'll see these things. And what I like, I think, as well, is if there's, we've said it before, drain the swamp and get rid of the bad eggs or just, what's it called, coattailing on people, you know what I mean, on the club kind of thing. I want people who are going to be working or volunteering. You know what I mean? I know people volunteer their time for the club. They love the club. But if you're volunteering and offering nothing, what is the point, Danny? Do you know what I mean? Me and you might as well volunteer. Do you know what I mean? We need people that are going to volunteer and give 100% and work. If they're working 12 hours, go to Danny. Well, I want to give 12 hours today and give 100% for 12 hours. Not go, I'm going to give 12 hours and only do 2. Do you know what I mean? And that's the thing. I said, he'll be quite surprised. I reckon he might get hit up in his WhatsApp regarding the kitchen. Because you say for people, we need a van, we need this. People go and do them.
We've got a great fan base. And like I said, I feel like as a club, we've come to a crossroads, in my opinion, in terms of we have done the fan ownership and et cetera. And I feel like a lot of that is due to the ringing the clubs and no one gets back, the really long queues, the way that we communicated, the lack of this, the lack of that. I feel that we're a professional football club with a lot of, maybe it's the charm of the club, a lot of amateurism in it. We're there now, and it's like, this guy, I just generally feel like he's here to rustle a few feathers, to actually make some changes that might maybe change that pendulum for some people, to make sure that it's one way or the other. I think it's
I think a lot of people hit the nail on the head when they say we don't mind fan owned. We do not like fan run.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because fan run has been quite amateur. And now we've got a professional MD in who's going to change it and make it professional. I just went there because I thought we didn't ask him about the head of football operations and how close we are with regards to that. But I don't know if he'll know much about that, because I'm guessing
that's, and to be honest with you,
PLC. He'll work closely with him when he comes in, or her, but that's something that the PLC board should, and Mike Buckley will be sorting, and then they work together. But yeah, we don't know how closely that is now. But yeah, we need, if we have a professional head of football operations, we have an MD who looks like he wants to be making as much money for the club as possible, it can only be win-win at the moment. Do you know what I mean? And the results on the pitch are looking better. And hopefully the fan base are going to be better for it. But yeah,
well,
I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate a big shout out to Chris Thorpe, who...
Thanks, Chris.
And sorted that out as well regarding when Danny could come on and stuff, or... not when he could come on, do you know what I mean? But sorting out times and time frames. But yeah, it's been appreciated. And again, as we said before, anyone wants to come on, I think I'm going to get Jonathan on next. Jonathan All, our American tool, as he likes to be called, he'll be coming on soon. So, but yeah.
Well, good stuff. Yeah, it's great. Like I said, it's nice to sort of, we've had a nice positive 3 or 4 weeks. I really think we've got a good chance against Chesterfield. It was great to beat Sutton in the week, rest a few players, so I feel like we're in a really nice position. I wouldn't be surprised if we came out with, again, in my opinion, a really tough tie, but I feel like we're in a much better place as a club. I feel we understand our team more. I think we understand our players more, our formation more. The manager, we've got a bit of work to do. I still feel like we're a little bit in the dark, but we've now also got, you know, our MD who's now giving us a bit more of an insight. I feel like we're kind of now in a really good position to really strike home. So happy days, mate. No moaning today.
It's very, very tough game on Saturday against Chesterfield. They're doing pretty well. But yeah, I if we can get through that, we've got a possible big third round tie, which, you know what I mean, Danny will be rubbing his hands up. If we can get, as I said, the hospitality sorted and stuff, then third round tyres, they sell out massively. And do you know what I mean? We've got to be maximising our revenue, and that's what I think he'll do. But yeah, it's been good. So yeah, Sunday debrief is back Sunday.
How was your wedding? All right?
It was all right, yeah. It was wedding. Me and the missus been pretty rough, so yeah, it weren't. That'd be great, but most people don't.
Bless you, mate. All right. Well, happy day.
Sunday debrief back Sunday. Me and you are back next week on the podcast again. Thanks again to our sponsorship, seasonmaster.com, secondary glazing and bifold doors. Hit them up at seasonmaster.com and they'll give you a good quote. But yeah, Danny, it's been a pleasure speaking to you.
And you, bud.
The real Danny. And good to speak to Mr. Mac, the Big Mac,
the big dog.
Come on, you dunce.
Go on, you a boost. Sanchez. Fashion him in there. Sanchez was in there. And that's a goal for Wimbledon. Laurie Sanchez. Off the bar. Agnes Bentler. The Dons are level.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.